Hey, Mugwarts. Welcome to Wormwood and Witches,
a podcast all about the strange and unusual.
Tally
and Erica invite witches and weirdos from all backgrounds to the conversation of the mystic and divine.
Come fly with us on this journey as we explore ritual, magic, and the peculiar.
Hosted by Anchor, you can find us on all of your favorite streaming platforms.
You can also find us on Facebook at Wormwood and Witches Podcast or Instagram at Wormwood and Witches. Let's do it.
Hello! I love how you and I always end up inevitably talking over each other.
Every
we're like,
time.
who's going to talk first?
Every single time.
How's
but we're
going?
Wormwood and Witches. I'm Tally.
Oh yeah, I'm Erica. We talk
you
about
not have heard that
shit.
Because we're talking over each other again.
Do we need to start over?
No, this is how we roll.
This is how we roll. I like it.
We're
how
really
are you
tired. Good. Tired. Ready.
Yeah. Pour all of Canada's on fire. So
blame Canada. Isn't that
of course, like I feel so bad for them. I feel that I should do some spell work and spell crafting to send rain or something their way. Cause I'm like having that many wildfires and
this early
how thick it is down in Denver.
Yeah, it's bad, y'all.
It's like pea soup. It's crazy.
It's
and
like
this
pea
is
soup?
Like shit, although like, well yeah, like fog, like where it's really thick.
Huh, okay.
Because pea soup, no.
I've never
maybe
heard
it's,
that.
That's something that I got from my mom from little Gary, Indiana. Don't judge her. Don't judge her. She grew up in Gary when it was not murder.
Oh, right.
So
yes, it is heavy with brown.
With
brown
two C's.
Stuff. Yeah, it is.
So
it's pretty hard to breathe out here. And did we have like the second worst air quality in the world at the moment? From
you would
I
like
read.
To think that you can see the Rockies.
No.
So
anyway, moving on to less depressing things.
Well, I mean, it's almost slightly depressing. It's our last episode for this season.
Yeah, a little bit-ish. Yeah.
We'll still keep you all entertained during the summer. Don't worry. But
yeah, we need to stay relevant and keep our 5 listeners listening.
Actually, we've had like 17 unique listeners. I have gone to our
platform
page. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're nice. Getting up there.
Whole 17. So. Let's make it to 20.
Ooh, but we will keep you all entertained with super short, fun, small things sprinkled throughout the summer.
Yeah.
This is our last, like, kind of like more full time, full length episode.
It's an old timey episode, like how we used
it is.
To do. Yeah. And we'll still talk over each other.
Always and forever, because we even do that in normal real life. So,
yeah.
What's your witchy woo?
Well, it'll already have happened. So, I will have completed my first ASL smoky air ASL 101 class.
Woo! Yeah.
So, that's
how
exciting.
Do you sign your name, Tally?
I can do it right now. Here's
let's
wait.
See.
Your
T-A-L-L-E. Yeah, crushing it.
I did it. I really enjoyed learning how to. It was like it's conversational, so you learn better, and it's all. Oh, the other thing, it's also. Oh shoot, I meant to look. I believe they're called queer ASL. So they employ disabled, queer, trans, deaf teachers.
Very
And it's
cool.
on a like sliding scale as well. So they're based out of the Pacific Northwest. I want to say like maybe even in Canada through Portland, Oregon, I think is where their teachers are based out of.
Can you sign to them depressingly? How is home? Are you on fire?
Well, I think the fires are more central.
I thought they were like British
Oh,
Columbia,
are they?
Alberta.
Ooh,
Yeah.
oh, I don't know.
Oh,
But
I mean,
anyway,
most of Can it's most of Canada at this point, it feels like.
So I've been enjoying that, and I really enjoyed the conversations of things like, what's your favorite color? My favorite color is this. Like, it was just kind of cool to have that kind of conversation. I don't know. So I'm thinking about doing the part two, like,
That'll be
102
fun.
level, but I'm
It's
kind
also
of
fun. I feel like it's also funny when you like go out to public places and you see people signing and you're like, I can understand relatively like
Oh.
what you're saying.
Yeah,
Like,
I feel like I need to practice more. I've kind of slacked on that the last few weeks just because I'm exhausted, and the class is like an hour and a half long. So, I mean, it's
that's a pretty long
intense.
class.
Yeah. And it's online, and so we get on basically on Zoom, and then the teacher's talking to us, answering any questions we might have, and then we break off into and we practice what we're supposed to learn for that day, for the week, and then break off into groups and practice with each other. And there's absolutely no speaking. So, like the first, which makes sense, but you're thrown into it, and so you really have to remember to be mindful. Like, it's so easy for me to ask the other person that I'm in the breakout group with, let me just turn on my unmute myself and let me just ask you instead of figuring it out or typing it out, because that's what we're used to doing. But it's like, no, this is, it forces yourself to be in that different mindset. So I really like that, which had me thinking. I thought about this a long time ago. Like, we should have transcripts available for our podcast. So
We
that way,
should.
yeah. So that's something that I don't know if we can go back to previous episodes, or if not, that moving forward, looking into that, because it's important to, have be available to that community. So.
Yeah, being accessible.
Yeah.
So I like
Yeah.
that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your witchy woo?
The I feel like I've peaked in life after finding this giant.
Oh, you bitch.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So
You
backstory.
lucky bitch, I should say.
So I had to go to a conference this weekend, just Saturday.
Oh, wait.
Which is fine.
I need to tag on a witchy woo. Also, the ritual craft plant sale
Oh
which I
yeah, what'd you
spent
get?
way too much money on. A lot of things for my goth.
Top five favorites.
Let's see. Well, I bought more just cool plants. Like, honestly, I don't even know. Like, just I don't even remember. Like the black knight scabiosas, which I try to grow from seed. I think that's what they're called. It reminds me of Harry Potter. Like a scabiosa sounds like a Harry Potter.
Leviosa.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Leviosa.
Yeah. And some other like an iris, and they're all like
Ooh.
black and red, and so that went into my coffin garden. So and one of them bloomed today, and it's
Aww.
gorgeous. Yeah,
You take
yeah.
a good photo.
I did.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah,
You
so
should post it to our social media so
yeah, for
we can
sure.
all enjoy the
Yeah.
flowers.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, okay, I forgot about that.
No,
So,
that's awesome.
yeah.
So backstory for this is that So I had to go to a conference on Saturday, so I had to flex my time and take Friday off. And so Thursday night, besides Dan and I celebrating our 10-year anniversary, which I feel
Whoa.
super fucking old. I was like, whoa, 10 years married. What the fuck?
Wow, really?
I know. I'm like, I still feel like 25.
I was thinking like 10 years together, married like the last six or something.
No.
Oh, okay. Just
Been
got one
together
after it.
12.
Oh,
And
wow.
I know. Crazy. But so we had gone out, and then I mean, sometimes I have dreams, but this one was like uber vivid. And so I had a
Oh.
dream of me and my coworkers. We were driving to like out in the middle of nowhere for like one of our projects or something. And we stopped for a pee break at like one of the campgrounds. And we get out and we're kind of looking around and we start to find blonde morels. And
No
so I
way.
teach them how to forage. And I was like, spread out and like, this is what you're looking for. And like, we cut and we're like finding like awesome blonde morels, like clusters of them. And it's super cool and awesome. And so I wake up on Friday, my day off now, and I text them like in our little Instagram chat. And I was like, I had this vivid dream that we found morels and blah, blah, blah. I must be thinking about mushroom hunting, which Dan and I are planning on doing today. So Dan and I go out and like, we're not finding anything quite yet. And towards the end, just as like we're kind of about to give up a little bit, we find this huge oyster mushroom
Yeah.
on this tree. So we're like, okay, like this is a good sign.
Yeah.
So we decide that we want to go check out this group of cottonwood trees. And we are bumming around just to see for shits and giggles, because morels, in case if you don't know, usually they're like the highly coveted,
Oh,
not
yeah.
very commonly found mushroom. And Dan spots one. And so we're looking around. We know we found a good spot. And it's so funny because he says to me at one point, it would be really cool to find a one of those, like, these are really cool. I like the small ones, but it'd be awesome if we found one of those like big ones that you find that people like post about on Facebook.
Right.
And I kid you not, literally a second, like I'm turning my head, and next to this log is this giant fucking blonde morel.
No
And I was
way.
like, and so like I texted my coworkers. I was like, hey, I'm a witch. I dreamt about this last night and I like, thought about it and I totally made it happen. I put the intention out there and it came to fruition. So this
You
is
really did.
manifesting 1,000%. So
Yeah.
I was just like, I was
Wow.
very proud of that mushroom. So I will post it to our social media because I was so proud of the
I
mushroom.
couldn't believe it. I was like, what? That's awesome.
Tasted delicious. I made it into some pasta, and then tonight I made some homemade pizza with oysters. So
Nice.
it was the morel pasta was really good though.
Yeah.
So, but you add butter and cream to anything, and it's
Yeah.
delicious. So,
Yeah. But add that to a foraged wild morel, like just that was like a $50 pasta dish you just made yourself if you went to a restaurant for that.
Seriously, it was awesome. So I was very
Nice.
excited. But
Yeah.
yeah, that's my witchy woo.
That's a great one.
Mushrooms. I feel like a hobbit. So
Well, you kind of are one. You just don't
yeah,
have hairy feet.
I was about to say, I do have
Oh,
hairy
do
feet.
you?
It's okay.
That's fine.
Oh man. Well, so
Moving on.
unrelated to mushrooms, unless if we're talking about manifesting, then that's witchcraft. But Today, we wanted to discuss grimoires,
Yeah,
Book of
mostly that.
Shadows.
Mostly grimoires.
I did not know that there was actually a difference until we started doing research.
I
And so I was like,
mean, not really. It's same, but different to me.
yeah. I feel like they could easily overlap. I feel like it's like kind of like the Venn diagram of things, but
Oh, for sure.
I feel like partially me personally, one of the reasons why I wanted to cover this topic was because I was curious about creating my own during the summer, really like trying to do a good job of cultivating that and cultivating my own practice over the summer. And like actually I did a new moon like ritual and whatnot. So I'm actually going to try and connect more frequently and create practice more every day. And so I'm excited to see kind of what comes out of this for myself, but also just
Yeah.
us in general. So,
Maybe it'll extend out of morals to morals, morals, and morals.
it's her Texan accent, as
Yes.
Tally and I talked about earlier off air.
It's strong today. I don't know why.
Must
I'll
be
blame.
the smoke.
Yeah, blaming the smoke. Blaming that smoke. Anyway, you want to start on the history of
Yeah, so
grimoires?
grimoires. So surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, there's not that much history on them, but in general, grimoire is a medieval book of spells and incantations that kind of encompasses charms, talismans, amulets, spells, etc., etc. And the grimoire or book of spells was a text that was actually used kind of in the early Middle Ages for magical practices, and is kind of like your reference book. It's like your recipe book and whatnot. This lamp keeps like, maybe there's a ghost in my room as we're talking about grimoires. The light
Oh.
keeps like getting brighter and then dimming and then brighter, and it's
What?
yeah, so I just turned it off. So if you look, if you see something in the background, just like blink like five times.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're kind of your reference, like grimoires is what I took as kind of like your recipe book, your reference book, or
Yeah.
that's the way that they used to be used. So that people would like write these things down and that people could use them in reference in the future. And they think they're not 100% sure, and they being like scholars aren't 100% sure where the name grimoire comes from, but the best guess is that the root word is of Old French, which is, and I don't speak French, so people can rip me apart if they want one or rip me a new asshole, but grammier,
Yeah.
which means grammar in
Hmm.
French. And
In French.
so it's like kind of like noting back to like the written word of whatever you're writing down. And so like I said, contents in grimoires are just purely informational, like they're like spells, rituals, how to prep yourself for things, ingredients, like if you wanted to use like a specific herb for something, like for a love spell or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So it's a book of magic, if you will. And they think that the term grimoire also originated, while it's French in origin, they think like the root term that the grimoire actually was born out of England, and that many Europeans throughout history practiced, you know, like cunning folk. So that's like kind of our like folklore-esque magic, if we will. It was your healers and stuff like that. Those were the people who used herbal remedies to cure ailments and stuff. And of course, everybody's like, she's a fucking witch. And it's like, no, I just actually, I mean, yes, but I also know the fucking like properties of this fucking herb that's gonna cure your UTI, mother effer. So, and it's interesting. We have like a weird cross section coming in from an old, like our witch bottle episode that Owen Davies, so their researcher, and he is actually part of the Concealed and Revealed bottles project that they're doing about collecting witch bottles and stuff like that. If you ever go back and want to listen to that episode, so he's part of that project, but he wrote a book about grimoires, a history of magic books, which is offered through Oxford University Press. And he noted that similar books could actually be found around the world, actually ranging from Jamaica to Sumatra, and also noted that in the sense the world's first grimoires were created in Europe and ancient Near East. So I did not think that they would have been so widespread. I would just kind of would have thought that they were like more modern European
Yeah, but I
focused.
mean, it's like from the beginning of, the time that people started writing.
Exactly.
So, and you're writing down your recipes for, things that worked or maybe didn't work. So, I mean, it makes sense that they've been around for a long time.
It does. And so they think that within the early medieval world that if you were like you and I have mentioned it, that spells, when we do spell crafting, it's basically could be related to any type of religion where it's like whether you pray or whether you do this or that, like it's the same thing of like putting your intention and ask out into the universe with maybe some like tchotchkes here and there to kind of like amp it up, but like you're really putting basically thought and intention into out into the universe to cultivate whatever outcome you want. And so a lot of medieval people thought that spell work was a lot like blessings, and could have been used by clergymen with like miraculous healing. When you think about people like, oh my God, John couldn't see and now he can. Like when you reference back to the Bible and whatnot. And so that spells in the grimoire were written by monks or clergymen for healing, and that sometimes they would write these, like little sentiments or whatever spells, if you will. You could call them prayers if you wanted to, but like they wrote them on small pieces of paper, and maybe that person carried it with them or wrapped it like maybe around their, like the part of their ailing body, wherever that was. And of course, like all of a sudden, like you don't have that ailment anymore. So, and they also said that spells could be spoken over potions in order to boost their healing properties. So, along with like the medieval folks wandering the world, by uttering the words of the spell, natural healing forces were called on to assist the individual. So it's kind of like referencing back to not only like these clergymen who would like do the spells and stuff like that, but like when you think about people who help ailing people of their community, we think about shamans. So, and like you said, like you referenced earlier, that ever since people could write basically, or even obviously pre-written history,
Well, yeah, then that's
it's like, yeah,
orally
like
passed
people
down,
were,
but
yeah, like oral history, like people were communicating about how to do these things.
of course,
So, and
yeah.
they think that the first known or the earliest magical incantation is from ancient Mesopotamia or modern Iraq. That they found like a cuneiform clay tablet that archaeologists excavated from the city of Uruk, dated between the 5th and 4th centuries BC. And when you also think about other maybe grimoires, when you think about recipes for ancient Egyptians and like what they needed for the afterlife, like that could be considered spellcrafting as well. So that's like kind of a loose brief history of grimoires. So the Book of Shadows was created much later in time by a Wiccan named Gerald Gardner sometime in the 40s or 50s, which is interesting because Wicca didn't really take off until like the 70s when you think about it. But I guess Gerald used this during his Ricket Wood Coven most of the time. And he had a high priestess friend within his group, Valiente. But she kind of explained after his death, like where she thinks he would have gotten the word, like where the word Book of Shadows kind of originated from. And she thinks that it's from this 1949 edition of this magazine called The Occult Observer. So it's volume one, number three, in case if anybody wants to go look at it. But there's like an article in there that talks about a Sanskrit divination manual that explained how you foretell the future of somebody based on the length of that person's shadow. And like that is how you come up with like the word Book of Shadows, I guess. Supposedly through myth, that's what this high priestess thinks is where
You know,
Gerald
it makes
got this.
sense.
It's the biggest like theorized, or well, it's her biggest theorized or
Yeah.
theory of it. And that maybe he just grasped onto this because he also had a book come out and it was being advertised in the same magazine edition. And so she thinks that maybe it just gravitated towards that and was just like, oh yeah, like this sounds like a good name. And that she said, quote unquote, it was a good name and it still is a good name wherever Gardner found it. So I was like, okay. So, I mean, Book of Shadows, when you think about it, has been it's a newborn thing out of the 40s and 50s.
It's
And
the
so
same thing. It's just one is or through an organized religion of Wicca and with a
yeah.
coven versus a more traditional, if you're a solitary witch or you don't pertain to any religion. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I got out of it, that they're both doing spells and rituals. It's just, are you do does the coven you belong to, like, that's, you might have your own at home still, and that's your grimoire, and then you have the coven specific book of spells and shit you do. So I mean, that was the gist of what I got.
Yeah, I guess like some of the research that I did with like other podcasts and stuff talk about grimoires being like a reference book and like Book of Shadows being like your own personal like spells and other things. But like I said, with like the Venn diagram, it gets like very muddled because like you're still then referencing back to like say you make a spell and you put it in your quote unquote Book of Shadows, quote unquote. And you're like, okay, like that money spell or whatever worked. And you go and reference back to it. Just because you reference back to it, does that mean that it's a grimoire now or whatever? Like Book of Shadows just also to me, like kind of coming out of not the history of it, but like, you know, obviously it's like in the movie The Craft or like it's in commonly found like in like modern pop culture, like the show Charmed when we think about it. And it just has like kind of like this like Me personally, I feel like it's like got this more goofy kind of connotation, like pop culture-y connotation than a grimoire, where I feel like grimoire sounds like it's like more serious. Like, this is like my collection of like my spells and my reference collection. And when I'm like actually trying to do like real magic, real work, and like I reference back to these things. Like, so, because I was like, I don't want to call my the Book of Shadows. It just sounds weird. And yeah, like you said, it's very oriented towards Wicca, which is more organized than just witchcraft. There's a difference. So,
I wonder if it's just easier to say in the pop culture references than trying to get people to pronounce a French word all the time. You know, it's like we do
do you know
know.
how to say grammar? In French, in old French, please tell me. It's like the true test of whether you're a witch or not, or something.
Well, if you get me on a Texan day, I probably will fail.
I'm like, what is the Texan version of a grimoire?
I bet it's
Grimoire.
no, that's still too French. I would say grimmer, probably.
Grim, you kind of like grimmer.
I'm spending my weekend in my grimmer.
Oh my God, I like it. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of history about them because they're kind of mostly newborn concepts when we
Well, the Book of
speak about
Shadows
like
is.
long-term time. I mean, even grimoires, like if you think about them, like they're not that old. Like, minus like the Sanskrit version of the cuneiform, but like
Minus, like, what did you say, 5th century or something? Didn't
fourth
you?
or fifth century. But like, I mean, yeah, like a clay tablet versus like a whole ass book of like clergymen, you know, probably in medieval times. Like, they're, I
Well, it's
think
definitely
people have
older
been,
than the Book Shadows. It's older than the Book
yes.
Shadows for sure.
Yeah. So there wasn't a whole lot necessarily of why people think what came from where.
Well,
So.
listen, we're just a free fucking podcast, okay? You want to dive deeper, be our guests. And if you found something, please let us know. And it's this, these are just tools. These are extensions of knowledge that, you know, either some of it we know or some of it we're like, oh, this is cool to find out. Or some of it is we thought this, but it's really this, you know, it's just, we're just talking. We're just
Well,
chatting.
we're learning along with you, like along. And so I would actually be really curious to dive deeper into Owen Davies stuff a lot more.
I'll
So
get to
just to
that.
see what they have to say. So.
I think that was one of my ones I thought. Oh
Your
no, I think I just
references.
well, I think I just mentioned it because I was tired and I just wanted to get this done. So I'm like, go ahead and read that book if you want to learn more, but I'll get to that. Are you done? Should we take a
I
quick break?
am done.
And we're back.
Woo-woo.
So I'm going to discuss famous books. A couple, just a couple. I thought about getting into the pop culture reference. So here's the thing. I ate mashed potatoes again, and they were like hot magma in my mouth. And so I kind of burnt my entire mouth and my tongue. And so I'm talking very gingerly. And
She can't talk, y'all.
I can't. And on top of my, for whatever reason, Texas, I've lived in Colorado for 23 years. Like, this is ridiculous, but
This is ridiculous.
I don't know what my problem is. Also, I'm exhausted. All right. So I'm going to get into famous books and hopefully I don't bite my burnt tongue or anything
I
like
hope you don't either, because that's gonna hurt.
I
Although with German pronunciation, you may be screwed.
Scheiße. Okay, so the first book I'm going to talk about, and you can actually buy these books, obviously not the OG, because this one is in the I want to say it's in the Library of Congress, I believe. Oh
Ooh.
no, maybe this isn't it. Where is it? Oh no, it's not. It's not. Never mind. Don't listen to me. So this one is
Except
called
everybody's listening to you right now.
Nobody's listening. This one's called The Long Lost Friend, a 19th century American grimoire by Johann Georg Hoymann. It's basically the most famous book of magic written in America and the New World.
Ooh.
Originally published in 1820 near Reading, Pennsylvania, under the German title Der lange Verbogene Freund. I think I said that right. We what? You're laughing. That's what we looked it up. So it's combines household remedies with charms and incantations to cure common ailments and settle rural troubles, it says.
Dude, this
So
book sounds super fucking dope.
I kind of want to get it myself. There's a
Maybe
collection.
it'll be a birthday gift.
Maybe.
Shit, man.
Oh, well, I still have yours from.
For my little German witch friend.
So there's a collection of herbal formulas and magical prayers. The long
Ooh.
lost friend draws from the traditional folk magic of Pennsylvania Dutch customs and powwow healers, which totally makes sense in that area. I was thrown off by the powwow thing, but when I
Yeah.
looked into it,
You saw
it's all
my
over.
eyes.
It's I know it's all over the place. So
Ah.
I didn't dive deeper because then I felt like we could just talk about this book and that would be it.
That
So it
is
is
very
something.
cool.
Yeah, it's something I want to look at that. Now, I read this part and I have to give a hairy eyeball to just like what you gave to me when I said powwow healers, because presumably this work influenced the practices of hoodoo, Santeria, paganism, and other faiths. And I call bullshit because this book came out in 1820. Now, hoodoo, I think, well, no, I mean, even because that came over from enslaved people and practices
Yeah.
in that way. So that would have been before eight prior to 1820 as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like,
I call bullshit with you.
yeah, I'm
Yeah.
like, calm down, white people, white Europeans, settle down. Maybe the first in the Americas, United States for white people, Pennsylvania
Yeah.
Dutch people. But I, and then when it says that there is a traditional folk magic of that and powwow healers, so in 1820, of course, there's still going to be some commingling going on and fighting. And so is it. Did you respectfully take these practices, or did
Did you just
you
take them for your
take
own and
them? Yeah.
be an original colonizer,
Right.
like
So I
us
don't
white
know.
Europeans?
That's, but you can buy a book. You can buy this book. So I am curious about it. We'll see. Maybe
Yeah.
go to the local library and check it out.
Yeah.
Support your local library. The other one I have to talk about is The Necronomicon by H.P. Lovecraft, because hello, that's an icon in itself.
Latu, Verata, Nictu.
And I believe actually this is the one that is in the Library of Congress. Or did I just make that shit up? That's possible. Oh no, I found it. Don't listen to me. If I just read my notes, if I just
Please.
stick to the script, we would be fine.
Please tell me that this one is bound in human flesh.
I mean, would it even be the Necronomicon if it wasn't? No, it's not. But I do
Damn it.
know. I do know of ooh, I have a good murder mystery Monday. I'm saving it,
Ooh.
zipping it, boop.
You better
Tossing
write
it
it
out.
down though before you forget.
Yeah, that is a problem. But I do know of some skin material items. So anyway,
Are they from Iceland by chance?
no, they are not.
Oh.
They
There's a
are
pair of magical pants that are apparently in Iceland. Yeah.
magical.
Well, maybe that'll be another Murder and Mystery Monday. We'll
Yeah.
just do skin-related magical options.
I'm really concerned
Oh my
about
God, yes.
magical
1,000%.
pants. That sounds terrifying. Okay, so continuing on with the Necronomicon. It's also referred to as the Book of the Dead. If you love any pop culture movie, as Erica was already referencing,
My vast bank of
useless information.
useless information and knowledge.
I mean, who doesn't love Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2? How many are there? Is there a three? There is, isn't there?
There is a three. I actually just saw the fourth or fifth installment, which is
Wait.
called Evil Dead Rise, and it was actually not terrible. You
Does it
can come
have
at me.
Bruce Campbell in it?
It does not.
Oh, well, then fuck
But
that.
I don't think he has a cameo in it.
He
I
has to
don't
be
think
in
so.
it. It's not
So
Evil Dead without Bruce Campbell.
true. But I will say this one did a good job of staying in its lane of being scary, but also B horror film scary. That was my take on it. So
Campy
I
horror.
enjoyed, yeah, I enjoy that they didn't try to actually be like uber scary. They
Yeah.
stayed in their lane.
Oh,
So.
that's good, good, because that, I mean, that story is not, it's not scary at all. It's hilarious. Did I ever tell you for my birthday a long time ago? I was in Texas, and you know, my birthday is near Halloween. There was this Evil Dead play,
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
I wanted to sit in the, of course, sit in the blood splattering section, which ended up being Kool-Aid, and I swear they even used sugar, which is dumb. Just use some red food coloring and move on. But back then I would color my hair like three different shades, like red, a chocolate brown, and like a white blonde in there. And I had just gotten my
Ooh.
hair done. It stained the blonde pieces because we were covered, even though you had trash bags.
Oh my
I
God.
mean, your face was covered in it. And at first it was like, okay, we're gonna go to this play and then we're gonna go out. And there was no way, absolutely no way, you could go out because you were covered in sticky
Why can't
Kool-Aid.
we have that
I
here?
don't know. I was so glad that I was in Austin visiting my boyfriend at the time, and that we went to that, but then it was like, okay, I guess we're just gonna go home and take a shower.
Oh my, yeah. You go
So
out to the bars afterwards and they're like, what the hell happened to you? It's been a rough night.
right, yeah. I mean, and it would have been one thing if there was a big group of us and we all looked insane, but it wasn't, it was just the two of us.
Oh
So
my God, that
but
is phenomenal.
it was
Phenomenal.
100%. It was 100% worth it, and there was no reason to go to the bar after. I mean, I had a blast doing that. So,
Oh my God, I'm jelly.
and I never saw it anywhere else. I was hoping it would come here, and I never saw it. So,
Boo.
I know somebody needs to bring it back, but don't add sugar to the Kool-Aid recipe because that's not necessary. Just a pointer, but. Okay, so back to the Book of the Dead. So it says the Necronomicon, also referred to as the Book of the Dead, or under a purported original Arabic title of Kitab al-Azif, hopefully I said that right. And that's a fictional grimoire appearing in stories by H.P. Lovecraft. And it's first mentioned in his 1924 short story, The Hound, written in 1922, came out in 1924. Though its purported author, the quote unquote mad Arab Abdul Al-Hazred, had been quoted a year earlier in Lovecraft's Nameless City. Among other things, the work contains the account of the old ones, their history, and the means for summoning them. So, like demons, right? Because a lot of the grimoire, I don't remember if you talked about that, but that was like an original thought, was that these grimoires were to summon demons, which makes sense with the Necronomicon portion. I couldn't remember if you mentioned
I did
that.
not.
Okay, that's what I was finding in my research, was that the original intention behind it, on top of herbal spells and remedies and recipes, was what they were really doing, of course, because they're witches, so you have to be doing something bad and evil, is actually summoning the demons.
The dame. See, I will say I thoroughly enjoy, even though when you and I do share a topic and we get worried, what you search and how I search are two completely different things. And it's really interesting, the information, like what comes up
Oh,
versus the
see,
other.
I
So, like, I
disagree.
feel like I'm constantly learning.
I disagree. I feel like we overlap, but not for, with this in particular, although you did take my Book of Shadows.
Sorry.
So anyway, Lovecraft also enjoyed other writers building up on this level of Book of the Dead and things like that in their own works, because then he said that that just builds up more of believability for readers, which it does. I mean, because we think it's real. My dog is snoring and making the cutest little, he meeps in
Oh,
his
I thought those were his meat.
no he meeps in his sleep.
That is adorable. Oh, sweet, sweet little baby.
He is so cute right now. He's like, his whole body is shaking. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Oh my God, sweet little baby.
That was super cute.
We need the Book of the Dead because Talia and I are both dead from Oscar's cuteness overload.
Little bit. His little paws are like flipping back and forth,
Oh
and
my
he's running
God,
in his
he's
sleep.
dreaming.
So because of this, because so many people kind of piggybacked on the Book of the Dead, the Necronomicon, many readers believed it to be real. Yeah, I mean, right? So
People are.
I know, I know. So anyway, nobody really knows where he came up with the name Necronomicon. He says that it came to him in a dream. Some other people suggest that he was influenced by Robert Chambers' collection of short stories, The King in Yellow, which centers around a mysterious and disturbing play in book form. They didn't explain what that was, but that wouldn't have been, I don't think that came out until like 1927. So that would have been after the fact. So unless like he was buddies with this person and heard about it before it came out, I could kind of see that. You know, they're all kind of in cahoots and hanging out with each other back then. So then he,
Drinking the green fairy.
exactly. So the other one, now I think this is the one.
Is this the one that's in Library of
Gonna
Congress?
say that for every single one. The Discovery of Witchcraft by Reginald Scott from 1584.
Not a discovery of witches, y'all. We all
No,
love
no.
kings and prophets.
Two different things. Discovery of Witchcraft, 1584, which enraged King James I, because wasn't he all about, like, he was obsessed with witchcraft. I
I
believe.
don't know.
Like he's the reason why there were so many deaths, I want to
Oh,
say.
great.
From yes, okay, this is the one that's in the Library of Congress. So the original book is in their rare book and special collections reading room at the
Cool.
Library of Congress, and they have a second edition, or I don't know if it's a second edition, but they have the original and one printed in 1651 as well.
Ooh,
Yeah.
that's super cool. That'd be a
Yeah.
fun job.
Yeah, right. Could you imagine the smells of those old books?
I know. Just be like, feel like Harry Potter and going into the rare books
I
or
know.
restricted section.
I would get in trouble for sniffing rare old books that are in like some contained humidifier. Tally, are you sniffing those books again?
I'm trying to make a recreate a perfume.
Right,
Shut up.
exactly. So it's believed to be the first book published on witchcraft in English and extremely influential on the practice of stage magic. So I think like magicians, that's what I
What?
understand
Yeah, I
stage
was like, what
magic
is
to be.
stage magic?
And then
That's dope.
this is the huh?
That's dope. I
I
love
know.
it.
So this is also perhaps where Shakespeare researched Macbeth's witches. But wasn't he around before then? I thought he was around in the 1400s. See, I didn't double check my work.
I feel like I should know this,
Yeah.
but I can
Maybe let's look real quick.
see. Yeah, like I'm curious now because I'm
Google what
like,
a stage mu mu musician. What's a stage musician?
somebody who plays the lute.
A stage magician.
Oh man, like.
Supposedly, it also says for the discovery of witchcraft, it was consulted and plagiarized by stage mus not musicians, get it together, magicians for hundreds of years.
So when did this one
Today,
come out?
of 1584.
Okay, so Shakespeare lived from 1564 to 1616.
Oh, it tracks. It tracks.
Oh.
Okay. Look up stage m
Stage,
magician.
not stage magician. Now I'm doing the opposite. Stage magician.
I'm assuming it's like David Copperfield, but I could be wrong. Because it kind of makes sense, right? You're doing magical stuff with things.
Yeah, so if it includes illusion, stage
Yeah.
magic,
Okay.
performing art. So yeah, so it's reminds me of the movie, what is Illusionist or whatever,
Oh,
Hugh
yeah.
Jackman.
I started to watch that, but it was halfway through when I picked it up, and I'm never, I was like, oh, I need to watch this movie. And haven't. Another long list of
Good.
movies I need to watch. So it also says in my notes, today you can peruse its dark secrets online.
Ooh,
I
that
know.
is super cool.
So
A
it's
way,
one,
what a great way that Library of Congress has made that accessible then.
right? I know.
Yes.
So it's supposed to be one of the foundational examples of a grimoire, a textbook on magic, groundbreaking for its time and nearly encyclopedic in its information. So Scott, the author, re his research included consulting dozens of previous thinkers on various topics such as the occult, science, and magic, including Agrippa von Nettesheim's, probably butchering that, De Culta Philosophia in 1531, and John Dee's Monus Hieroglyphica in 1564.
These people, man.
Don't they work?
I know. I'm just like, do you have to make your books sound so complicated?
I know.
Hieroglyphica.
So I thought those were, there's multiple, but I felt like those were just really cool because they were kind of the OGs in
Think
like
those
a
are good highlights.
in a pop culture sense. Like it went out to the masses and people latched on to those. But if you're interested in more historic grimoires and historic magical practices, a book called Grimoires, A History of Magic Books and Art of the Grimoire, and Illustrated History of Magic Books. Those are two books, books and spells. Two books by Owen Davies, and The Book of Magic, From Antiquity to the Enlightenment by Brian Copenhaver. Haver. So it kind of goes into the history of these books, which I think would be really cool too.
That would be fun.
If you want to make your own, that's where it can get a little overwhelming. I was in this 13 Moons witchcraft coven of sorts, where we would meet every full moon or new moon. I can't remember which one it was, but our first assignment, let's say, was creating our own grimoire, and or would it be Book of Shadows, because that would be kind of a coven. Oh, anyway, I don't remember what she called it.
Dude, it's like a Venn diagram.
It is. I don't remember what she called it, but this was a few years ago, and out the gate I became overwhelmed because it's a blank canvas and the world is yours, whatever you want to put into it. And even though she, and not a diss on her and by any means, she gave us tools and things, but you know, starting off with an astrological chart and this and that, and like that in and of itself can become really overwhelming. So there were, I don't remember how many people, maybe 15 people in the 13 Moons coven, and some people were all about it, and other people like myself were like, whoop, I'm out. I've already, you know, I'm already overwhelmed and can't do it. Instead of just taking bits and pieces versus if I don't do this, then I can't pass. If I don't finish A, I can't go to B or C, which isn't true. So just taking that with a grain of salt that it can be overwhelming, they do have books and journals that can kind of get you started if you feel like you need something like that. There's no wrong way. If you have, you might have even several grimoires. I mean, when I think about it, I have an herbal products and a candle one, you know, and it, I have intentions and crystals that go with each candle that I make. And so that's in and of itself its own. And I have an herbal one that's one of its own. So, if you're a kitchen witch, you know, you have your recipe book and anything magical that you put in that. So you might end up with, you know, four different types if you want to have them separate, you know, and know that some of these can get really messy because you are in the kitchen, so you're going to spill stuff on them or whatever, you know, which mine looks like that for sure. One other thing which I think is really, really great is using a three-ring binder, and then you can put your own stuff in there and move it around and have different categories and things. So if you want just like one big book, and you can put your categories in there in any order.
I think that's what I may do this summer. Like,
Yeah,
that's
that's
the
and
route
that's
that
how
I'm
we
gonna
have
go,
it.
'cause I have like this like high anxiety too that like comes with like I got this really cool book that I intended for like my grimoire from when I visited Turkey like in 2006. And I waited for the longest time to actually write in there, and then I finally did, and like I ended up inevitably, because we're all human, fucking it up. Like I wrote, you know, something on the wrong page, or like something didn't look perfect the first time you wrote it through. And like, you know, I have this high anxiety of like, it's got to look perfect and it's got to be in the right section when it's like a bound book. And I think, or three ring binder, when also I love this idea that I'm gonna like write my shit out, but I would much rather just like do text to speech on the computer or type it really quickly because it's a lot faster and just print it out and like put it in a sleeve and then like put that in a three-ring binder and then organize it later.
Well,
So.
and even, and that was the other thing too. Some people might be more digital savvy and just want it on their phones. But I, or even an extension to what you were just saying, you could have a messy one and then write in this gorgeous book that you have when you've dialed in your recipe or your intention or whatever, you know. So, like, there are, that's the thing, it's endless. So, you know, you can press flowers in there, you can draw sigils, you can add colored paper, you get, you know, different colored pencils and markers and things like that. And just, I've seen some just absolutely gorgeous ones. And then other ones, maybe you are just typing and that's it. It's yours. So that's the kind of the cool thing, but it can immediately become overwhelming when you're like, where do I begin? So, but there
Just
is
even
no
like the
wrong
thought of
answer.
it, yeah.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. So
I
that's
think I'm gonna start with just by spells that I want to craft and
yeah.
just see what natural patterns start from that. And then go from there. 'Cause I mean, it's been a little bit helpful. I think us having our little coven and doing the Sabbats and like the things that we've conducted for our Sabbats
Yeah.
in celebration, kind of using that as a jumping off point of, you know, what do I want to record and how do I want to record it? And especially when you were talking about recipes, right? Like we tweak recipes all the time. You know, you're like, oh, that didn't work. Like, let me exchange it for this, or this made it taste way better, right? And spells are much the same way. So I would like, I'm curious to do this spell crafting and then maybe take like a lunar cycle to come back to things and be like, okay, did like this work? Did it not work? Should I exchange something else out? Like, how should I tweak it? So I get like the desired outcome. Am I seeing the desired outcome? Et cetera, et cetera. So it's all gut intuition. And like you said, it's going to be messy and overwhelming. And you just, there's no wrong way. Like you said, you just got to go for it.
So is
I love that
some
you have like a grimoire for like all your candles and stuff, and like that totally makes sense that like they're your recipes for like, you know, the witch's breath and
And
like what
so
you would add to that. And
exactly. And then I can go back if I haven't made something in a while, like I don't have everything memorized. I have what flowers, what botanicals I put in there, and I have the reason why I put that in there. It's not just willy-nilly. So,
Do you
you
have
know.
notes in there too of like, oh, I tried this and it didn't work. Don't
Yes.
try that again.
I've gotten better at that because what I noticed I was doing was I would have tweaks of the same recipe, like in some herbal salves and things like that, but then not write down which one I like the best. Like they would all be
Oh,
written
yeah.
there, but I didn't circle the one or put a heart next to the one that I liked the best. So
Yeah.
it's like, I'm not going to remember. I have to remember to tell myself, I'm not, you think you're going to remember, but you don't. I don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I definitely feel like I need a cleaner version just because of all the chaos that's in it.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, five different tweaks of this one recipe. Well, now I have it dialed in. You know, or like me just taking random notes or something. So it's like, okay, those things I need to cut out the chatter because now I'm in a place where I can make this. But if I'm picking recipe number three when I meant to pick recipe number four, you know, then it's so, yeah, that's, you know, one of those things that when will I get to it? But
Yeah, like carving out the time of
yeah.
like when you finally have it like dialed in, like you said, that you could go back and like then put it in your fancy book, or like, you know, have like your binder of like these are like the more most recent finalized,
Yeah.
you know, recipes.
Or even have a different one for, because people ask me like, you know, what is this crystal or what is this flower and why did you put it in there? You know, and so the more I'm one of those people, if I write it down, I remember it better versus just reading it. So, the more I write it down, the more I can remember, or even, you know, just take like a little chart and say, this is good for this, and you know, things like that. So, for people who are buying my product, but you know, that's even further down the road, maybe.
It's a lot of work, and you know, we just have to also remind ourselves to take baby steps, I feel like. You know, you don't have to accomplish it all at once. You're not going to create this like fantastic grimoire spell book, you know, overnight. Like, this is something that people take their entire lifetime. So just don't think that you have to like be like, all right, I'm ready to do it, like bust it out, you know.
Don't
And so
compare
just like,
yourself to a 16-year-old TikToker that's pretending that they created this grimoire overnight, because I
yeah,
guarantee you they didn't.
no, you gotta test those spells out. You like, shit takes time. So
That was a good way to end our season.
yeah, it
Even though
all
we're not
takes
really
time.
doing seasons, but
Yeah, they're kind of a just a continuation. But Tally and I are off now in the land of fun summer projects and
yeah.
enjoying summertime after, as we probably bitched and moaned a lot during this like
Winter.
season, quote unquote, that the winter was super long. So we're all ready to go
Was.
camping and enjoy the outdoors. We're gonna go, let's go paddle boarding with the pups. So
Yeah, and then like we said, we'll have little snippets for you sprinkled in, so
yeah.
it'll be a good time.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
then we'll see you all like for full length episodes after the summer.
September-ish. We don't know.
Sometime. Yeah.
We can't make promises
Yeah.
because we
Sometime
don't
after
keep
the
them.
summer, we'll put it there.
Okay. Cool. Well, until next time.
Keep gazing into the unknown.
And maybe we'll come up with a better ending.
I like our ending.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Bye, y'all.
Bye.